Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers.
Hello, everyone. This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine, and I'm here with Brett Hutchinson, a certified arborist from Green Tree Forest Service. And he was at a recent oak tree seminar in Hamul with another expert speaking about the oak trees and why they are dying so much. So, Brett, when did oak trees start dying, and why are so many dying?
You have to look back at the bigger picture, you know, where San Diego County has been in a pretty severe drought for many years now. And not just oak trees, but all trees around the whole county are suffering from drought stress and other issues. In particular, the oak trees, once they've gone into drought stress, they're fairly susceptible to beetle infestation. And we have a variety of different beetles now in our area, both new and old beetles, that are having a pretty dramatic effect on the oak trees around the whole county.
Do you know how many trees in our region have died, and if there's an estimate of how many are infected?
Some of the most recent UC Riverside research suggests that there's approximately 120,000 acres of oak woodland in San Diego County alone that is has serious beetle infestation going on. And on average, most of these areas, you can have anywhere from one tree to 30 trees per acre based on the density of the woodland. And a lot of these areas, we've had anywhere from 50 to even 90% mortality of these trees. So, you know, if you calculate that out, that we've lost well over 100,000 trees in San Diego County alone.
Wow, that's a big number. Is there a way to prevent trees from getting infested with these beetles? And how do you tell if it's infested?
Most of the time, these trees are suffering from drought stress. That predisposes them to beetle attack. And there are approximately, and we're talking about oak trees now, there are approximately three main beetles that are hitting our oak trees. There's the gold-spotted oak borer, which is a fairly new invasive species that's been spreading into San Diego County for about 14 or 15 years now. And then there's the western oak bark beetle, which is an indigenous beetle to most of the western United States that is also present in high numbers in our forest. And then the other latest one is the polyphagous shothole borer, which is having an effect on many different species of trees in our region. So you really have to start by looking at the different beetles and understanding a little bit about their life cycles and how that affects the trees in your area. If you want to start with the gold-spotted oak borer is a new beetle that has traveled into our county, has come into our county basically in the southeast corner, and it was believed to have made it across the desert to the east of us on truckloads of unseasoned firewood coming from the Arizona area. And this beetle has a one-year life cycle. It usually basically starts in the early spring with the female laying eggs on the outer bark of the tree, and then the larva bores down to the cambium, where it spends most of the summer feeding on the cambium zone, which is the junction between the bark and the wood of the tree, is the active growing portion where the tree's moving sugars back down. So it's obviously the most nutritious zone for these beetles to feed on. So this larva feeds on that zone throughout the summer, and then by fall it's usually done, and it'll then migrate out to the outer bark where it digs out a chamber and will sit there in hibernation basically throughout the winter. Then the following spring, that larva senses the warmer days, begins pupation, and turns into the beetle. And then around early spring, the beetle chews its way out and begins the whole life cycle over again. So that particular beetle, because of its ability to hibernate in wood for long periods of time through the winter, that's the main reason why that particular beetle has been jumping around the county, and actually it's the main reason why how it came into our county, because people are moving firewood that has active larvae in it, and they don't realize that. And then this beetle can jump large distances in a very short amount of time. The natural spread of this beetle is usually only a matter of a few hundred yards per year, if it's not facilitated through human movement. So that's the gold-spotted oak borer. The western oak bark beetle, which is the indigenous oak beetle that's been in this area for years, that's a very small beetle that has a slightly different life cycle. It has a short life cycle. It can go through 2 to 3 generations a year in our climate. And that particular beetle will attack a drought-stressed tree and bore into the cambium layer where the actual beetle itself bores into the tree instead of just a larva. And then the female will lay a little pocket of eggs of 25 to 30 eggs in a small little spot. Those eggs hatch, and then the larva and the adult beetles will feed on the cambium layer basically until the tree succumbs and dies. Those beetles also bring along a couple species of fungi that this fungus, once initiated, it travels into the xylem and clogs the xylem of the tree, which is where the tree is moving water. And it shuts down basically the whole circulation of the tree, and you'll have a oak tree that'll turn brown in a matter of a month. And that's usually the combined action of the beetle and the fungus. So, and then the last beetle that I mentioned was the Polyphagus shottle borer. That's another new beetle that's been coming into this area. It's been spreading around San Diego, and it has a similar activity to the western oak bark beetle, where the beetle itself bores into the tree and travels not into the xylem, not into the cambium layer, but it actually travels into the xylem where the tree's moving water. It actually bores and forms galleries where it lays eggs and raises its, the young basically in these chambers. And that beetle also brings along a fungus that shuts down the tree's ability to move water. It's basically a fusarium dieback type wilt in it. And it's very devastating. And the shottle borer, unfortunately, it's not species selective as some of the oak beetles are. This new beetle is devastating trees all across our county now, and from willows to sycamores and oak trees and fruit trees, avocados. It's a very long list of trees that beetle will hit.
Okay, wow. Thank you for sharing. And is there any way to treat, cure, or at least slow down the damage?
Well, the biggest thing you have to do is keep your trees healthy, meaning do all you can to promote their health. Look at the environment where your tree is growing. Try to minimize, root impact, soil compaction in the root zone. It's good to keep, a certain amount of mulch around all your trees. But the biggest factor is hydration. All of our trees, both, in residential areas and out in the forest, are going through drought stress right now. And the easiest thing really to keep your tree healthy is literally to just water it. And that can prevent a whole host of problems. An oak tree, generally, in the past, people would tell you not to water oak trees. And that in most cases is true because you can accentuate root rot. However, right now, when our trees are in such hard drought stress because of lack of rain, they are more susceptible to attracting beetles and having problems with beetle attack because of drought stress than they are from having a root problem if you were to water it. So adequate hydration is the big thing. And then also keep an eye on your trees to make sure that they haven't been attacked by beetles. Some of the easiest ways to tell if your trees have been attacked are usually signs of lesions. It's usually a small, dark, wet, oozing spot on the outer bark. And if you inspect it, sometimes there's a little small entry hole related to it. And if you only have maybe one of those, that might not be an issue. But if you look at your tree and you have a 4 or 5 or 10 or 100 of those kind of things showing up, then your tree may be under major attack and need even further treatment.
Okay. And then you mentioned earlier about people transporting firewood. So what can people do instead of transporting it?
If you have a tree that you know has died because of a beetle attack, the one thing you have to do in order to try to slow down the populations of beetles that may be in your area, you need to act on a dead tree, if it's an oak tree especially, as soon as possible. Because the moment these trees turn brown, that's when they have the highest level of beetle and larva activity going on in them. And if people don't take activity right away, then that tree will eventually start to dry out, and the beetles sense that, and they wrap up their life cycle and move on to another green tree. So if you want to keep your trees healthy and your beetle populations low, when you have trees that die, you need to cut them down as soon as possible. Cut all the if you want to save the firewood, then you would cut everything down to firewood that you want to save. Any brush or branch debris that you don't want should be either chipped immediately, burned, or sent to some sort of, solid waste landfill, so that way you don't allow those beetles to spread from that material. and the firewood. If you have a tree that just died recently and still has active beetles in the wood, you would basically cut it up to firewood size, split it if possible all the way down to firewood size split, and then you would put it in a sunny location and cover it with clear visqueen for approximately 3 to 5 months. And beetles can chew through plastic, so it's not 100% that you're going to catch everything, but if you take the time to cover it all the way to the ground and secure it to the ground all the way around the pile, the sun will penetrate the clear UV plastic and heat up the wood inside, and you can reach fairly hot temperatures underneath the plastic, which facilitates the drying out of the firewood. And the faster that wood dries out, the faster the beetles will either be killed or they'll be forced to wrap up their life cycle and try to move on. And in which case, hopefully you encapsulate them and catch them. You don't want to leave a pile of wood that has active beetles in it just out in the open, or you've done basically nothing. The beetles will finish their life cycle and move out of that wood and fly onto the very next tree they can find that's, you know, susceptible. So,
are there any natural predators?
There are. We have a variety of different carnivorous insects, and even birds such as woodpeckers are very aggressive at foraging for a variety of these different beetles when they're at different stages of the life cycle. The woodpeckers have in our area have figured out that the gold-spotted oak borer spends a certain portion of its time out near the outer bark, and they figured out that at the certain times of year they can find, you know, this larva right underneath the bark and use it as their food source. The insects that we have two main insects that are carnivorous. There's a blue metallic beetle, and then there's also a red lace beetle. Both of these beetles have both their larvae carnivorous. The beetle lays an egg in the cavity where there's other beetle activity, and its larva hatches, and the larva actually tunnels down in the same tunnels that the bad beetles basically are in and catches up with them and eats them. Problem is, though, is that if you look at the whole relationship between herbivores and carnivores, the carnivores are always one step behind the herbivores, meaning if you have a whole herd of cows out in the meadow, there's only a few coyotes following them, and there's usually not enough to have a significant impact on the populations. So that's the same way it is with our insects. We do have natural predators out there, but they are one step behind the wave of larger beetles that are actually attacking and killing the trees.
Is there any longer term cure on the horizon?
Pray for rain. it all comes down to the climate and how much rain we get in certain areas over the years. And average rainfall has been dropping around the county for a long time. And unfortunately, that's whether it's you call it global warming or climate change, it is changing, and these things need to be addressed. So if you have oak trees in areas that are going through drought stress, and just so you know, one of the easiest ways to tell if an oak tree is in drought stress is it has crown thinning, and that's a state that the tree goes into as it goes into drought stress, where it begins to defoliate, so it slows down the amount of water it's moving through its system. So if you have trees that are in drought stress through crown thinning observations, you can either start watering them and just giving them a little more hydration. But there are also other things that we've been studying regarding insecticide application. There are products out there on the market that are available through a licensed applicator to use on the trunks of these trees that has the ability to both keep beetles out and also kill larvae and beetles when they try to come out of a tree if they're already in the tree. So those types of things have to be looked at on an individual basis, whether or not it fits the need of a particular tree's infestation and, you know, the area around it. Those products need to be applied at the right time of year to be successful, especially with the gold-spotted oak borer. Most of the best success with insecticide spraying for GSOB is in April, May, and June. You basically time the application of products with the emergence of the beetle, and it's very successful. We had really good results with that, with different products and using that type of technique.
Oh, good. And in your opinion, is it best to hire an arborist before trying to kill or get rid of these beetles on your own?
If you understand what you're looking at, a person can do plenty of good on their own as far as just keeping their trees healthy and doing what you can to keep the beetles from being able to attack your tree. But if you already have activity going on and you're unsure of what it is, it would definitely be good to hire a professional to come out and give you, some sort of recommendation where they've actually truly identified what your problem is. There's a variety of other beetles that can have similar cycles, and if you aren't able to differentiate which one you have, you could get, misdiagnosed in a sense and go down the wrong path with, the treatment that you're planning you may try.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to share with the listeners?
Overall, if you're looking at tree health, whether it's out in the backcountry or whether you're down in a residential area, as I said in the beginning, one of the biggest things that we've seen is trees becoming weak overall just due to drought stress. And even in residential areas, we're seeing that. And, where we've had lots of cutbacks through the water districts where people have been forced to reduce their irrigation on their properties to 2 days a week and 10 minutes and, major cutbacks. And a lot of those policies were put in place to save water, but they weren't necessarily designed in a correct way to keep your large trees healthy. And we're seeing trees in residential areas that are succumbing to major drought stress just because of the fact that they've been forced to cut back their water so severely. We have people in Del Mar that went through some issues where they had to reduce their water and all their large pine trees in the area started dying one after another. And the pine trees can have the same type of beetle activity as the oaks, where once you have one tree die and it's fully infested, if you don't take care of it soon, that tree will manifest thousands of beetles, which will then move on and attack other trees that are in drought stress. And so a lot of these residential areas are realizing that if you have large trees, you can't let it get by on just 2 days a week of 10 minutes. Large trees need deep water. They need lots of water, deep water. And if you just are doing surface watering, meaning you're keeping your grass green, that's not enough to keep the tree healthy. And so, you got to reduce competition around these trees so they get more of the water and more of the nutrients and things they need to stay healthy.
Okay, thank you. This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine, and I just spoke with Brett Hutchinson, a certified arborist from Green Tree Forest Service. And you can read an article about the oak tree seminar he was at on www.eastcountymagazine.org. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.